Welcome to Call Your Girlfriend,
a podcast for long-distance besties everywhere.
I'm Amina Tussaud.
And I am Anne Friedman. On today's agenda, we talk about this latest season of the pandemic we're in. Is it season two, three, maybe the end of season three? And all the things that means for us. Guava cocktails, vintage golf clothes, exploring our own cities, journaling, repetition, boredom, and the future.
I don't know what I sound so excited about, but here we are.
We are not excited. We are, you know, I know we always joke about not being professionals, but that excitement in your voice is how I know you are truly a professional. You are a pro.
That's a lot. How you doing over there?
I mean, this is a hard question to answer at this point in time.
Give me the superficial answer. You know, the when you ask people that you don't really know how they're doing and you hope they won't actually tell you the real thing, you're just like, just tell me you're doing great.
These days I say something like, getting by. How are you? There's always that tone, the up talk at the end of like, it's still a question. Like, I'm going to answer your question with a question. What about you?
You know, I'm still here. I had better days, but we're hanging in there.
Oh, man. I feel like we should be honest with everyone listening to this, that there are obviously many important and worthy things happening in the world right now. And when we went down a list of them, we were like, we can't. We don't actually want to talk about our horrible president and his health. We don't want to talk about this election. We don't want to talk about 6 months of being in a pandemic. We don't want to talk about grief. What else don't we want to talk about?
I mean, everything. I don't want to talk about anything. I wonder if, because I find that this, it's not just true, like on the podcast. I think that I am having this really visceral reaction to, well, obviously like visceral reaction to the pandemic, but I'm finding that even with my friends, the idea of anytime you see someone that you haven't seen in a long time, or even the people who I see regularly, the fact that we are talking about the same thing over and over again is like, that really just grinds my gears, you know? Like, I am living, I was on a walk with a friend the other day, and she said, she was like, man, I would die for some like low level, like celeb gossip right now. And I looked at her and I was like, wow, you are right. Like, I want something so frivolous and something that is just like so meaningless, because everything just feels heavy all the time. So like the minute that I left the walk with her, I did the thing that I hate doing the most, which is like going to dailymail.com to look at the carousel. And I was like, what's going on in other people's lives? And I have never been so dissatisfied with like that like side of the shenanigans before. I was like, nothing is hitting correctly. So I know that I have hit a new bottom when I don't care about like Z celebs, like, you know, like the weird things about their lives.
It's funny. I only experience Daily Mail as mediated through the Who Weekly podcast. Like, it's not a direct, like, celebrity culture is not something I access directly. I'm like, it's all fully translated to me by like you or other friends or Lindsay and Bobby on the podcast. Like, it is not part of my direct routine. But like, man, that is so true though. Just these things that you're like, oh wow, tiny pleasures that are not that are not like related to my domestic existence. Like, that's the other part too of like, oh, celebrities are out in the world. It's not like me having a hobby to get me through, or like me tricking myself into feeling excited about making yet another dinner, which I feel like is a large part of my life right now.
Man, I am so over, I'm so over just like surviving. Like, who knew that all of life, it's true. Like, all of life is just like, where, you know, like, where's my next meal going to come from? And like, what am I, like, cooking is taken, something that I generally enjoy doing, like not to a fanatic level or anything like that. I've always felt like very, you know, cooking is very like a neutral good. And now I just despise it. I despise it so much. And yeah, and it's like all of your life just revolves around surviving. It's like, okay, like, gotta get some groceries, gotta make 3 meals a day. And it's made me such a resentful, like, kind of asshole. And I say this as someone who is so fully privileged to have, you know, to have like one person who cooks most of my meals anyway in the week. So it's been this like really hilarious, just I'm like, wow, these are the, you know, the like, this is the basic pyramid of needs and I'm over all of it, just over all of it, which is such a like privileged asshole way to like be.
I don't think you're a privileged asshole. And I also deeply relate to that sentiment. Like my cooking has sort of like turned into this bifurcated thing where on one hand I have recipes that are like so easy, I can do them with my brain off, and this is like what I do when I just need to eat a function of my body, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like I have like a one pot kale pasta that I make that is like very, you know, it's like literally you just put it all in the pot and it's done. And it's like, that's the sort of automated cooking thing that I do more and more of. And then on the other end, there's like, let me pick something that is needlessly elaborate just because I want to, like I'll be like, ooh, it'll take 2 hours tonight. I'm trying to psych myself up for something that has long since stopped being fun and creative.
I know. I've been doing a lot of baking, like talking about psyching yourself up for something. And and you know me, I don't like live for baked goods, but I love baking as a way to like work out your frustration. You can't like freestyle baking. You have to really, it's like, it's literal science. You have to follow the steps. So I've been making,
I know,
these,
that's
like,
why I'm so bad at it.
I know, but in it, like, but for me, it's why I enjoy it. Cause I'm just like, okay, great. Like, I don't know how all of these ingredients react. Like, even if the weather changes like 5 degrees, your bread is like into question whether it's going to work or not. So I've been doing this like very elaborate, like everything that I usually like to source at a bakery, I've been making at home, like finding the knockoff recipes of all of the things I like. And my entire kitchen is covered in flour. I am always like cursing to no one in particular, but I've really enjoyed like making like, you know, baked goods as a sending that to friends or like dropping it off at a friend's house or whatever. And it's been really nice, but I have to say, I'm like very bored by all of it. Like I was like, wow, like I finally have time to make all the things in my like Pinterest board. And here we are. None of it is satisfying.
I have to say that, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, I was like lamenting the loss of surprise and spontaneity in a much more active everyday way. And I realized recently that I had reached the point where I have stopped even actively missing it. Like I've just sort of been like, okay, like when I look at my calendar of what's happening work-wise today, that's all that's happening. Or, you know, maybe I have a scheduled check-in with a friend, but that's it. If I don't see it, you know, on my written down, it's not an interaction I'm having. And I recently, so my backyard has a very active guava tree in it, which is maybe for some people extremely exciting, but like for me, someone who is kind of like 50-50 on guava, and it's been like 100 degrees out, the hot guava waft coming from my patio has prompted me to go like actively pick it and then drop off like bags of these guavas for friends I know actually like them. And I have to say that I might keep this practice even when we're post hot guava season, of just like texting a friend and being like, are you home? Dropping something off and having like a 10-minute conversation on the porch that I hadn't accounted for earlier in the day. Like, wow, the excitement of that, I have to say, is really like a late stage pandemic joy that I am trying to do more of.
Oh man, I have a really good guava cocktail recipe for you that Natalka Burian, who owns Elsa in Brooklyn, shared with me recently. And truly, I think it's a cocktail you will really like. So we'll link to it in the show notes. But also, Anne, I think it might solve some of your like guava problem. But we'll see. We'll see.
You know, it's also a blessing because it's spurring me to see friends. I have to say, like, I have really made like taken the guava lemons and made like guava lemonade is what I feel I have done with this situation.
It is true that we were all more innocent in season one of the pandemic. You know, it was like, okay,
we really were.
Yeah, season one was all like Tiger King and baking bread and growing our green onions back and stuff like that. And now I'm like fully over it. I'm trying to focus on like the things that are like a little different in this season of life and that I'm actually enjoying. And when you were talking about like your hobbies earlier, I was like, you know, I finally have like real hobbies for the first time. Like I never could answer that question. People who just like have hobbies all the time. And I'm like, sorry. I'm like, I watch TV and I read and I travel. Like those are, my, you know, I'm like, those are not like real hobbies, but those are my hobbies. And sometimes I do puzzles, but now I'm fully like an actor in between like jobs. And so I feel that all I have are hobbies. And it's been like, kind of, I'm like, that's kind of enjoyable. I'm into it.
I have to say, I love this for you. I love you turning into a hobby queen. It is honestly also like, I love watching you, the zeal with which you are applying yourself to your new hobbies. I really, it is a thing of beauty. It's like, I have kind of the same hobbies. It's funny hearing you run down pandemic season one. It's like, I never had a bread baking phase because I know that is not my strength. Like I am a kitchen freestyler and not an exact science person. And I am still regrowing scallions. Like I'm sort of like, I like those things. Things have not changed, but like the doubling down on my hobbies, it's like I'm now four quilts deep in this pandemic, like really fully. I know, baby quilts, but still, I mean, I can also feel the hours, like computer hours and sewing machine hours have the same effect on my aging back. And so that's how I know. I'm like, maybe I need hobbies that put my body in a different shape. Like that's really where I'm at. Like I need like a good physical hobby. I'm not a sports person, but I don't know what that would be. Something other than walking around.
We've already discussed you, NSGU, no sports growing up, which is truly my favorite way of categorizing people. Yeah, you know, the outside hobbies are really, they're good. But again, it's like, weather is a limitation, air quality is a limitation, like things that you and I are both contending with. But I think that all my mental health is really hanging by the string of the outdoor hobbies. Like I started doing this like running program called Couch to 5K, which so many people do. And for many years, like I had tried doing it and every time I was failing. But I think that this is my time now because the technology has finally gotten good. Like I don't have to use a stopwatch or like, you know, any kind of weird thing. There are just like 100 apps that'll do it for you. And the app that I use is like made by the NHS. So it's this British voice just going like, run, walk, run, walk. That's my bad British accent. And and it just turns out that I was like, oh yeah, running intervals. Like I was like, this is fine. Like can finally do this. And I hate everything about running. Like I hate everything about it. And every time I'm done, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I did that, you know? And so I'm excited about like graduating that soon. It's a 9-week running program and it's hard, but it's fun. But also I was like, this is the time. Like I have never had this much time before and I have finally conquered my awkwardness about running outside. Now I just like truly like do not care. Someone street harassed me recently and it was like low-key kind of thrilling because I was like, wow, nature is healing. Like the assholes are like out.
The assholes are like
out. The cat collars are back.
Yeah, I was like, cat collars are back. But it was also this like very beautiful moment of like where I was like, oh, this is what people talk about when they talk about the running community. Like this person said something like really like gross to me. Like my instinct whenever someone says something disgusting to me on the street is I never know how I'm going to react. Sometimes I'm fully like, fuck you. And then other times I just want to cry and hide and I can never tell like however vulnerable you are in this moment. And this was so fun for me because this person was like called me essentially like a fat cow and immediately I was like, tell me something I don't know. And then the other runner on the bridge was like, fuck you, man. And yeah, it was just this like awesome. I was like, thank you, stranger. We are having a good day here. But truly I was like, I'm in love with New York. But I was just like, that is not something I thought in a million years I would do. And I've also been taking a golf class, which is very LOL for me. But being outside and hitting balls, it turns out like these business school bros are onto something.
Executive realness. I feel like learning to golf is the essence of executive realness.
And I am like, cannot wait to like take myself out on like 18 holes of golf. I was like, this is such a good goal to have and I can do it. And it's been really fun too in my lessons because there's so many women who do it, like something which I'm like, duh, like, of course there are like a ton of women who do it, but it's just like nice to be at the driving range and you're like, look at all these like boss ladies Also, it turns out that in order to make me do a sport outside, you just have to tell me that there's a semblance of a costume. And so the minute I started looking into golf clothes, I got so excited. I was like, what? I'm like, excuse me, there is a whole outfit culture with this. I am down. So it's like that. And then I spend half of my time on like Etsy and eBay trolling for like old kind of like corporate sweaters and stuff. So shout out to my Bear Stearns sweaters.
Oh my God.
But truly, I have found something that I am like surprised to like this much.
I really, the image of you in a vintage Bear Stearns sweater, like swinging a golf club and like having it perfectly connect with a golf ball. This is the most pleasure I have felt in like weeks. Just even thinking about that, like truly, wow.
Listen, wow. Sometimes it turns out that golf is really hard. My swing is trash. Like everything is bad. And also the person that is training me is hilarious because he also makes you look at yourself in a simulator, you know? So, and the others, you know, it's like you versus Tiger Woods. So he's always like, Amina, look at how Tiger is doing. every time I like laugh hysterically because of course Tiger Woods is doing it well, sir. Like this is not gonna happen. But it's fun now to be like, okay, I've had like enough lessons that I remember when I used to hit the ball like 10% of the time, and now truly I was like, okay, I know how to do this, but my swing is trash and I can work on it. It's just nice to get better at something. I've also been surprised at how much I like doing things that I'm bad at. And it's the same joy that I get from like cleaning something that's very dirty, where you're like, oh yeah, like this is just like changing.
You like to see improvement.
I like to see improvement. And it turns out that I am really, I really like my story of myself was that I only liked to do things that I was good at and that I didn't like to take risks or chances or whatever. And I was like, yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not true. But it is very humbling and really nice to just be like, I am really bad at something, but it doesn't matter because I'm objectively getting a little bit better every day. It's the like post book, what's the next big project that I'm doing? And in the meantime, just taking all these classes and doing new things makes me feel like I'm keeping my brain active. And also it's just nice to be outside until, you know, like East Coast winter gets for real.
I know. It's like I'm kind of on the opposite weather schedule where like I have been stuck inside for weather reasons, but in probably like by Halloween-ish, I will be much more of an outdoor creature than I am right now. And like you are the opposite. We are going to like cross on our way outdoors to indoors.
Listen, work on your golf game. Maybe next time I see you, this is something we can do together.
Oh my God. Listen, I have mild scoliosis. Like my father slipped a disc trying to play golf when I was a kid. And I think I got it into my head that like bodies like mine are maybe not golf like appropriate.
And you could be an iconic golfer. Like truly, if we could go back to like applying to college, this is the scholarship we should have pursued.
You know, I will say this for golf, like the fact that it is mostly just walking, like in between the swinging parts iconic. Is very appealing to
iconic.
Me.
Iconic.
Ooh, okay, let's take a quick break. Love to walk, like truly love to walk. That has also been something that I have been good about in like, you know, season 2/3 of the pandemic, wherever
we're now. Fully in three, Anne. We are in three. This show is about to go into syndication.
Our season two was publishing a book. Like that was our personal season 2 of the pandemic. But yeah, my season 3 is also like randomly picking neighborhoods I don't know very well and doing my walk there as opposed to my neighborhood. Like that is also something that has brought me a lot of joy in a city that is more spread out, where like being able to kind of like look at like different like neighborhoods and be surprised a little bit like is truly getting me by. Like other people's neighborhoods, the thrill of that.
I know. You know, like a product that I really wish existed, and I hope that someone who's listening to this will just fix it for me, as someone who like works at Google Maps or Waze or something, is that I would die for a walking guide or a driving guide that is neighborhood specific that still will have like all of the turn by turn information that you need to do, where you're like, just like,
turn left, this neighborhood was redlined.
Totally. Like, this like, is what yeah. I want. This is what I want, because yeah. I have been like walking and like driving around like neighborhoods in New York that I historically like have not known, and all I do is just waste so much time looking up houses and looking up, you know, just like there's so many weird quirks in Brooklyn, and it's been so nice. And I just want someone to make a product that is exactly that. I am here to do tourism via car or tourism via my legs. And I just want someone to narrate to me what is happening or like what the history of this specific neighborhood is.
I fully agree. Like I was in Beijing last fall and someone recommended to me an app where people can upload walking tours themselves, like locals who are experts. And the app is like GPS coordinated. So it knows when you've hit a certain spot on the tour and it will just start talking and say like this building used to be whatever, or like this structure was built, you know, in this year and this is what it was built for and this is what it's used for now. And I loved it. It was great. Like the one that I did was recorded by a journalist who had like lived in that area for a long time. And so, you know, it was a little bit of history. It was a little bit of recent history. It was a little bit of like a local's perspective. It was like a little bit of the kind of travel guide recommendations you might want if you're visiting a place. But when I went to look for other parts of the city in that same app and other places, it was just so spotty. Like clearly it's not used enough to really be like what we are talking about. But oh man, I would love that for my city or for cities I'm visiting.
Yeah, just I want like, it. Yes. I want it for everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is the longest we've gone without seeing each other.
I know. I really like, I hate that. That's where I really get very, very sad when I think about the kinds of experiences that I think I missed in season one of the pandemic, like things I really thought about, like the fact that you and I were not sitting side by side in a hotel bed watching bad TV or like ordering takeout together or whatever.
I know our like trip that we were going to go on before book tour, we are still going on that trip the minute the world is open.
I know, but I guess where I was going is like, I used to really actively think about that, you know, of like, oh, if this pandemic weren't going on, I would be like getting on an airplane and like going to see you, or I would be visiting my friend who has a very small baby that I want to meet before this kid gets too old, or I want to see my grandma, or I want to have a dinner party with my friends who live in town. And, a dinner party. You know, oh, what a dream, right?
The forbidden dream.
Truly, like truly.
Literally, I got goosebumps. You said that. I was like, nothing sounds more verboten than that right now.
I have to say that I honestly, like I can say that to you in kind of like a high level way. But if you ask me to describe in detail kind of like that scene or like what it might feel like to walk into my friend's house while they're like, you know, we're about to sit down to dinner together with like, you know, a handful of friends who are not potted up together. It's almost like it's too painful. Like it's gotten to this stage where instead of fantasizing about what I'm missing, I'm just like, nope, not going to think about it because I don't know when I get that again. I'm just going to not think about it. And it's something I'm really trying to force myself out of. I'm trying to force myself to envision like walking into a crowded bar and my friend has saved me a seat and we're going to sit and, you know, kind of chat conspiratorially and eat French fries because like Lord knows they don't travel. You got to eat those like in person.
Oh my God.
And we're just going to feel that energy of being around a lot of people. Like the details of that, I don't want to let go of. Like I want to be able to feel joy in hoping for that and not like hope in some big sense of like the pandemic is fixed, but like in these very tiny moments that I really miss.
I know. I miss so much of that stuff, you know, and because like one, there's obviously like a familiarity to it and there was such a safety to it. But I think that like where I'm at, and it's probably like, you know, 100% a self-preservation mechanism, is that I can't even allow myself to think of that because I also think that whenever life goes back to normal, I hate that phrase, you know, whenever it's like back to normal or whatever, I just think everything will be different. Nothing will be how it used to be. And, you know, probably like masks will be a part of our life, like forever moving forward, and some sort of like, you know, regularly, you know, really assessing like, do I need to go to this large scale event or whatever? Like these are all things that if we are smart people, like that's probably going to stay with us for a while. But I don't know. Then there is like the part of me that gets really excited at a different kind of possibility, because for as much as this time is very hard and it's, you know, and to be clear, like has like brought on so much suffering for so many people around the country, I think that like for those of us who that has not, you know, like it's not been the case, or that we are lucky enough that our, you know, the load that like COVID has given us is much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
There's also for me like just this feeling of, oh, like my life is very different and I don't hate all of it, you know? Even this like silly thing about like picking up hobbies or being just like grounded at home. Like for me, this is the first time in a decade that I have been at home this much. I cannot think of a time where I've just been at home. My entire life used to revolve around like, how do I retain my diamond status on Delta? I never want to get on a plane ever again. And yeah, there's just been something like really clarifying and also, I don't know, like really nice about, like, obviously I want to see everyone in my life, but I think that for the people that I get to regularly see, where I felt like really hashtag blessed, LOL, about the fact that we get to go so deep, you know, because we are stuck together and we are forced to make these like really intense decisions around who is in your community and who are you seeing and what are you doing. And I think that even with work, I feel that way. I'm like, okay, like work is not going to exist in the way that it used to. Like, what does that mean for me? And how do I get to apply my creativity? And what do I want my relationship with like being in an office or going to work or making things? Like, what do I want all of that to be? And it's obviously a huge privilege to be able to consider all of those things. And I don't know that I would have been forced to think about them in the same way if we hadn't all been grounded this year, you know? So I don't know. I'm like, maybe that is really foolish, but I think that this is also just confronting me with a lot of decisions that I need to make for myself, you know, about like, how do you want to live? Who do you want to live with? How do you want to work? And, you know, like, what are my values and what are the things that are really important to me? And I feel that I've been forced to really give it some serious thought in a way that before I was not.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's true. There is definitely this feeling of like kind of doubling down or clarifying what has already existed. That's true. And I think that like, it's funny because I'm thinking about your example of like the Delta Diamond status, right? Like I definitely did travel a lot more and it is something I'm still missing. Mm. I don't feel like I've actually, like I always was someone who's like, I need to ground myself at home for a significant period of time, like after a trip. Like my relationship to home and what I need from it, and that feels like kind of the same. And it's almost like for me, the clarifying part or the part that feels future facing is like, how do I actively want to shape this? If I consider this to be like, you know, my norm, and not even like in a new normal, like what if we're all still in a pandemic sense, but in the way that like home is kind of your norm, right? Like this is your baseline, you're the people you see every day, the habits you have every day, you know, what part of that is or isn't serving me or making me happy. Like that's kind of more where I'm at. It's really interesting, this phrase kind of like the new normal, like what will it be in the future? And I'm like, it already is, like this is already normal. Yeah, you know, I mean, like how do you feel about the norm is really, and I know that like, you know, that is something that I say as a person who is like, you know, not responsible for keeping a child at Zoom school, like, or a full, and not someone who's a full-time caregiver. Like there's a lot of things that like, that make this sort of more like my future norm as opposed to not just my present norm. But yeah, I am really feeling a lot of that as well, of like some gratitude of like, okay, like this has really just been like letting the dust settle so I can see what's in this water.
Ooh, I wonder what the writers of the next season will have for us. Ooh.
Oh my God.
Because let's be real, Miss Corona was a villain and then she infected everyone in the White House and then she became a hero. So the character development has been shocking for me. I don't know. I'm like, where are we going next? It's like all kidding aside, I think that there is really something about having finally submitted to the idea that this is just going to go on for a lot longer than we had planned. That for me, at least, has been very, it's been more soothing than stressful. Where it's like, okay, great. I'm not waiting for some magical date where there's a vaccine and then the world is open again. It's like, no, like, having to learn how to be a resilient person is just work that you have to do every day, because today it's coronavirus, tomorrow it's probably going to be something worse than that. So what are all of the systems that we're learning right now for coping that will be good for life moving forward? And focusing on that has weirdly been, that does not set my brain on fire. And I appreciate that.
I know. One thing I've been thinking about lately is how some people I know were keeping like a more of a daily coronavirus log. Like, what did they cook? Or like, what did they watch? Or how are they feeling in, you know, season one? And now, you know, I have much more of like, I really, because every day looks so much the same, it's hard for me to access. It's really hard for me to like remember how things felt day to day in an earlier phase. And I'm kind of wishing that I had done a better job of even a couple of notes, or like even keeping track of like how things felt back when we were all more worried about surface transmission. Like, how did things feel when, we suddenly made a transition to all agreeing, well, all of us who are like interested in science, all agreeing that masks are a good idea, you know, things like that, that feel like now, again, like kind of normalized, or things that are a part of my life, as you say, for the foreseeable future. I find myself kind of curious about the more recent before times, like not before the pandemic, but like, who was I in phase one? And I really am kind of wishing I had kept some more notes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, my journal practice is, it is consistent, but it's very haphazard. Like, I don't really write, I'm not like, here's how I feel. It's mostly just like keeping lists of things. So I have been keeping a list of all the movies I've watched, and I'm noticing that the tenor of the movies now is like a little more chill. Like, I am watching less intense movies than I was. And I've been keeping a log of just like anything that I've like eaten or drank that I really like. And that's been really fun too, where it's like, okay, great. Like, here's what's happening. And the only thing that I think I remember so much about the beginning of this was just this like complete sense of fear because of not knowing how to do like very basic things. And I think that when I think about the early days of the pandemic, that fear is what is like the most dominant thing, where it was like, okay, great. Like, even if another pandemic comes, or we have to all go back into, you know, the strict lockdown of early March, I really don't feel that the terror will be the same, because we know how to cope with it. You know, there's no like, how are we going to get groceries? How are, you know, like, are we going to catch it from the bottom of our packages or whatever? Or can you run without a mask on? Or, you know, like, all of these questions are kind of settled in a way. And so I feel, I don't know, like, the thing that I keep thinking about for me so much is that it's like, what was my relationship to fear, and what was my relationship to this moment? And I find that now I'm obviously still tense and so much is unclear. But that fear that I felt the week of March 13th is something that I hope to never feel. I hope to never feel that way ever again in my life. And so it's, yeah, not having a record of that in a journal actually makes me feel really good, because I like, that is not a feeling that I want to access ever again.
Yeah, I recently, I was talking to a friend about how I really wanted to be reading a novel that kind of captured this experience of like life repeating, or the days feeling the same, or it being hard to access like other paths or other futures. And she recommended to me this novel, Life After Life by Kate Atkinson, which was a very popular book when it came out in, I think, 2013 or 2014. And the premise is that the main character dies a whole bunch. Like, you can basically see all the different ways a human life can end. Like, you know, she dies as an infant and then we restart back at her birthday. Or then she dies as a young child and we restart back at her birthday, and kind of like make it through a life with all these fits and starts. And it has this repetitive nature to it, because you kind of have to go back to the beginning every time. And none of these are spoilers. Like, this is really just the structure and premise of the book. And I am finding it very, very comforting. I love having a point of reference that is not Groundhog Day for the experience that everything can feel the same, and also it's definitely not, and you are moving forward and you are gaining more knowledge. And everything you were saying about clarifying, or like moving through that like very acute phase of fear at the beginning, this novel is helping me work some of that out for myself.
I love that. Now I really want to read that.
I'm going to send it to you when I'm done.
Oh, can't wait. Love. That's literally what I was hinting at. Thank you for my friend Sarah always says, are you picking up what I'm putting down? And that was 100% a moment of picking up what I was putting down.
I am putting down this book into a package so you can literally pick it up. Like, that is what's going on.
Oh, man. I think that like actual health scare and pandemic aside, like virus aside, this moment in life really reminds me of like really intense periods of boredom when I was a teenager. And I think like, especially that weird, you know, that I feel like that moment between like 18 and 20, like I feel like 19 was probably the most aimless year of my life because you're an adult, but you're also like not an adult. And you like, there's so much transition happening. And I feel very similarly to that time in my life, where it's really easy when you are not suffering like the rest of the country, you know, and that you have some like you have more security than the rest of the country, to really think about this time more as a, okay, I'm aimless and this is a kind of boredom that I know will go away, and, you know, and really try to use some of those hours for daydreaming as opposed to just surviving. And it's, I feel that it is like a moment of regression, of emotional regression, you know? And I think like the hobbies are 100% part of that. That's why everyone is like tie-dyeing and baking and doing, you know, the great regression moment for all of us. But I also think that there is something about it that for me, it's giving me like a kind of emotional nostalgia that I am trying to understand, you know, of like, okay, when you are not like busy being on the treadmill of intense capitalism all the time, like, what do you want for yourself and what kind of world do you want to live in? And I have time to like consider that in a way that I just like did not before.
I love that. It's funny because hearing you talk about hobbies as regression, like for me, in a weird way, spending more of my time cooking, baking, sewing, like observing my neighborhood and checking in with friends, I'm like, this feels like a fulfillment of like my Midwest femme identity. Like, it almost feels like like a future or something than a past. I mean, I definitely like, I did kind of have hobbies as like a kid, but more, I don't know. I was more just like flopping around my room, like listening to music. I wasn't like doing things the way I am now. It's funny, like the different kind of like youngin we were. But yeah, for me, it's more like, I feel like I'm cultivating skills for potentially like, you know, a very much later in my life, like, you know, final season of like the Anne show, where I'm like, you know what, like life has slowed because I'm older and my body is slowed if I'm lucky enough to make it to an older age. And what I do is I bake and I sew and I catch up with friends and I walk around my neighborhood, you know, like it almost feels like what you were saying earlier about this being practice. I do feel some of those feelings about taking comfort in older, you know, bits of culture or things that I like from my childhood. But weirdly, it almost feels more like a future to me, like a future way, you know, years down the road.
I love this. I love this as a place to end. And it's making me feel a little hopeful. Can't wait to be old with you, play a round of golf, and then watch you quilt and watch bad TV. That's all I want. Can't for the wait future.
I can't wait for you to get me into golf and me to get you into quilting. That is really where this is the only place for this to end up.
Listen, I love quilting for you. I don't know that my eyesight or my patience is like something that will ever be compatible for this, but I cannot wait for when you move on from doing baby quilts and I get an adult quilt. So I wish you 100 more years of quilting.
Ugh, all right. Well, maybe I'm going to force you to make it with me. That will be the like the final, that will be your test to say, like, have you adopted this hobby?
Listen,
after we play our rounds of golf.
I love to give feedback on fabric. So that alone, I feel like I can contribute to. We got this.
Yeah, you can consult. Yes.
Uh-huh. We got this. Anne Friedman, I miss you a lot. You're the best.
I miss you too. I miss you too. All right. I will see you on the internet yet again forever.
Worst tagline in the history of podcasting.
I hate being prescient. I want it to be wrong. I want it to not feel accurate.
I know. I want to be like, I'll see you on the couch. I truly like dream of the day where I just truly am like, I would like to be on the same couch doing the same crossword and, you know, like having like a cup of tea together. That's all I want. Oh. That's all I want.
Okay. I'm going to hang up before I cry. I also want that. I will see you on the couch at some point and maybe in years and years.
You can find us many places on the internet, callyourgirlfriend.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're on all your favorite platforms. Subscribe, rate, review. You know the drill. You can call us back. You can leave a voicemail at 714-681-2943. That's 714-681-CYGF. You can email us, callyrgf@gmail.com. Our theme song is by Robin. Original music composed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. We're on Instagram and Twitter at callyrgf. Our producer is Jordan Bailey, and this podcast is produced by Gina Delvac.